hear God's word as I read from Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Throughout the month of December, I've led the congregation to be thinking once more about the incarnation. It is a very familiar story, and I'm glad that you're familiar with it. It's familiar enough that sometimes we can glaze over the details and our hearts can be somewhat dull to the truth that is presented here. And so I've urged you to listen to these messages and to think as if you were hearing this message for the first time. Previously, we considered how the wise men responded to the announcement that they heard. They heard through the star and reasoned that a newborn king had come into the world. They were drawn to Jesus by the hope that that star represented. Then we considered last week how Mary responded to the announcement that the angel Gabriel gave to her. She responded in faith, believing all that the Lord had said would happen. Today I want to consider how the shepherds responded to the announcement that was given to them. The angels came on the night that Jesus was born and announced that there is a Messiah, a Savior that has been born. You'll notice that the shepherds respond to that message. They respond by sharing that good news that they heard proclaimed from the angels. That's why I've titled this sermon, "The Shepherd's Gospel," the good news that they share about what they heard and saw. I'd like to start, though, by just pausing a little bit and explaining something about shepherds. Our understanding of that class of work is probably shaped a lot by Psalm 23 and about David, who was a shepherd. But there are some aspects about the work of being a shepherd that get kind of lost in that good picture of being shepherds. As I did some study on this week, I found that the class of shepherds were actually mistrusted by the people of that day. They were considered of something of a lower social class. If you pause and think about it, it makes some sense. As they were responsible for caring for animals, and there was often disease or death or just responsibilities that kept them out in the fields, it made them less able to observe all of the ceremonial law, let alone everything that the Pharisees had added unto that. And so they were somewhat despised and viewed a little bit as undesirable, kind of like those dirty shepherds. It's very different than the picture that we often have of a shepherd tenderly caring for his sheep. And I'm sure that there was some tenderness there as they, and there was some bravery as they guarded over the sheep by night, as we're going to see. But there was a general idea that they were unreliable and untrustworthy. So one commentator points out that they weren't allowed to give testimony in court. That's the opinion that people had of shepherds. You just can't trust those shepherds. And yet, God chose to announce this greatest moment of history to these shepherds. And then through these shepherds, he chose those who were socially of a less desirable class and even somewhat mistrusted. He chose them and honored them, giving them the message of Jesus' birth, and then giving them that message to take to those around them. As you think about it, it makes you wonder, so why did God do this? Well, it's not like the Lord had not told anybody else. I mean, he has been announcing it for 2,000 years, hasn't he? And everyone had, the whole world, especially the Jewish world, had access to those announcements. So it was a knowledge that was available to all. That's why when the wise men came from the east and they asked the Jews, where is this newborn king? They could go. They could look in the scriptures and say where the child would be born. Micah says he would be born in Bethlehem. They knew those stories. They knew about the coming of the king. But why did God choose shepherds? I'm struck by what Paul says about the wisdom of God and how God acts in a way that humbles those who are wise in this world and wise in our own eyes, and the tendency that seems to come from our own idolizing of our ability to sort things out and our ability to save ourselves. You see, God's not going to have any of that. Christ is the Savior, not us. And so, as Paul says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so God chose these seemingly weak, despised shepherds to receive this great announcement. And what an announcement it was. God sent angels to announce Jesus' birth, to share the good news, in a sense, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, of his birth. Outside the village of Bethlehem, the shepherds were guarding their sheep. And here, the work of the shepherd is highlighted. That was their work. Probably gathering those flocks together in a pen and under the watchful care through the night so that no wild animals or robbers would come in and steal the sheep. Everything was quiet when all of a sudden there was an angel in the middle of their camps. A mighty, sinless, glorious angel stands in the middle of these men, and they trembled in his presence. Now, these are men that, like David, would have fought off wild animals, would have attacked robbers that tried to steal in and take away the sheep. These were not just your easily pushed over men. And yet when an angel of the Lord appeared in their midst, they tremble in fear. The verse also says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It was a type of heavenly light, the type of brightness that is described in the Old Testament as being significant of the very presence of a holy God. It was a little wonder that these men would tremble at the presence of such an angelic messenger. So the angel's first words are very fitting. Do not be afraid. The reason for that comfort is found in the message of good news he brings. He says, I bring you good news. It literally says, I evangelize you. It really is a fascinating term that is loaded with meaning. In the adult Sunday school class, I was saying that good news was a common term in those days, but the New Testament offers invest in it all that has to do with Jesus Christ. So here is one of those occurrences. The good news, or the evangelism, is that Jesus has been born. That Jesus has been born. And not only that, that this news is of great joy. Just pause there and think about what greater joy could there be? Really, what greater joy could there be than that the Savior has come to take away our sins? That's part of the message that sometimes seems to get lost these days, covered over in traditions or the materialism of just desiring gifts. The message of the angels is that this news is of great joy. The work of redemption is being accomplished in Jesus. The good news is for all people. Jesus came to save men and women regardless of their class, whether they are socially high or socially low, whether their nationality is of Jew or Greek or scattered Gentiles around the world. It doesn't matter their wealth, their social position, their occupation, their sex, their education. The good news is for all people. The good news is specifically that Jesus is born in the city of David. Just like Gabriel had told Mary, Jesus would descend from the line of David. God was giving him the throne that had been given to David. Long ago, it was promised that a Redeemer would come through the children and descendants of David. And that Redeemer would be a mighty king who would reign forever and ever. The good news is that this child is the Savior, Christ the Lord. The angels use three terms there to describe Jesus. First of all, he calls them a Savior. And that term is one that that all of the Jews would have understood and all of the Jews would have attached to the promise of redemption that runs throughout all of the Old Testament. There is a longing for that Savior to come. We sing about it throughout the Psalms. Oh, save us. Oh, save your people. The angel also calls him Christ. I've noted this in previous messages that word is a Greek word that is used for the Hebrew word Messiah. That too would have been well known and well loved by the Jews because of all of the messianic promises that are given by the prophets as they look forward to the coming of Jesus. Finally, the angels give him the title Lord. He is a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that title is invested with regal authority. It's all pointing to our great eternal prophet, priest, and king, Jesus Christ. And finally, the good news is that you will find this Messiah close by. The angel gives directions how they will find the baby. And with that little hint, the shepherds go eagerly to find the one that is spoken of. But if that weren't enough, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased." First there was one angel. Now there is a whole army of angels filling the heavens and praising God because of Jesus Christ. Again, let's just briefly look at the words that are used here to give praise to our God. Glory to God in the highest. All earth could be said to be filled with the praise of the Lord. But here is partial fulfillment of what the Apostle Paul speaks of in the book of Philippians. There he says that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess of those who are in heaven and those who are in earth. And here we have the mighty angels themselves bowing in submission to Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, or goodwill on earth, peace among men with whom he is well pleased. The focus here is on the proclamation that there is peace with God that is given through Jesus. There is reconciliation that is coming about, that is happening through Jesus. Sinners may come to the Lord because Jesus has accomplished peace. So what did the shepherds do? And this is really where I want to concentrate today. What did the shepherds do when they heard this message? Well, there are three things that I want to highlight. First of all, they went to see Jesus. They said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came with haste. They went to see Jesus. They didn't pause to check their Facebook posts. They didn't pause to update their Twitter feed or say, "Hey, checking in with the angels. Got to get a selfie with Gabriel, you know." Of course they wouldn't do that. They didn't have that technology. But isn't it amazing how often in the midst of of amazing circumstances, we pause and make sure that we share it on social media. I'm not wanting to comment on social media. I'm commenting on how we can be so easily distracted from what is important. We get distracted, and so we're not in that moment and rejoicing in that moment and participating in that moment. And the shepherds resisted any distraction, and they went to see Jesus. This was great news. It did indeed fill them with joy. And the news was so important that they went that night to find what the angel had spoken about. And yet it is so easy for us these days to be distracted. We can be distracted by our social media. We can be distracted by just the burden of everyday life. Even the simple act of setting aside a day of rest to meet with God can become crowded, literally crowded, so that we don't see Jesus. God has invited us to meet with him in worship, in our devotions, and yet the distractions that come crowd that out. Sometimes it's literally by busy schedules that we say we don't have time to pray, we don't have time to read, we don't have time for church. Or it could be figuratively crowded in our minds. So we gather here, and yet our minds are elsewhere. The shepherds went to see Jesus. They received the good news that the angels gave to them. They received the gospel, and they acted on that by going to see Jesus. Secondly, they spread the news about Jesus. Here again, just pause and think about God's purpose in choosing these simple, maybe even foolish and despised individuals to carry the news to the people around them. God does choose the simple, foolish, and despised to shame the world, to silence the idolatry of those who are rich and mighty and powerful and who have trusted in those things. The shepherds received the gospel, and then they became bearers of that gospel. They had good news to tell. And so as they left after seeing Jesus, it says that they spread the news widely. And just think of what the people must have wondered about all of this. The text isn't clear as to whether or not that was something that happened on their way home, and they found people who were awake at night and that they could share that news to. It seems more to have the force that they kept on sharing that message, that they kept on telling people about what Jesus had done. Because those people scratched their heads at the message that they heard. As we think about that simple, foolish, and despised method that God uses, just reflect back on the fact that God did send that message through the wise men to Jerusalem. And that the rich and those in power did not receive the message then. King Herod didn't believe it or act on it. Well, actually, he did believe it and act on it, but not in a good way, did he? He decided to try to kill the child that was born. The scribes and the Pharisees and others in Jerusalem also did not act. But in a sense, that's okay. God had it covered. He sent shepherds to see. He sent shepherds to bear witness. He sent shepherds to evangelize those around them and to bring the message that would spread really around the world that the Messiah has been born. Finally, they praised God for Jesus. It says that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They understood how important this event was. They understood what the angel said, that this child is the Savior, Christ, the Lord. Even though there may have been a simple nature to the shepherds, even though they may have been mistrusted, they understood those words. They understood them in the context of the gospel that had been preached throughout the Old Testament. They understood their own need as sinners themselves to need this Savior, Jesus. And so they praise God for Jesus. They glorify and praise God for all the things that they had seen and heard. Because they understood that out of love, that the Father had sent his Son to save sinners. That Christ himself had humbled himself, setting aside the glory that he had from beginning of all time with the Father, by becoming obedient to the point of death on the cross. Is it any wonder then that the shepherds would respond to this glorious announcement with reverence and awe, praising God for Jesus? So as you think of this very well-known account of the history of Jesus' birth, let me remind you that good news is declared to you today. There is good news of great joy, the joy that salvation is offered to you through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter who you are, what age you are, what class of people, what nation you come from, the good news is for you. And that good news is that Jesus has been born, and this Jesus is Christ the Lord. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Instead, I pray that you would hear that evangelism, that you would hear that announcement of the good news of Jesus Christ, and like the shepherds, that you would seek out Jesus, and then take that message yourself, and bear that seed of evangelism, and spread it widely to the world around. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that by your Holy Spirit you make known these truths to us today. Thank you that you have recorded this in your word so that we may hear once again about the birth of our Savior. And oh God, we do thank you that you have sent your own Son, the Son that you love, to die on the cross for our sins. Today we praise you for that. We are in awe that you would stoop to save us. And we praise you, O Lord, along with the angels, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Thank you, O Lord, that you have demonstrated that goodwill and peace to us. We praise you today for Jesus and ask that you would bless that message as it was told by the shepherds and is told by us today, that there is a Savior. Savior is Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 22, David is led to say, I will tell this good news to those around me. And the congregation, I will declare it, and the ends of the earth will hear it. There is a Savior. That Savior is Jesus. We'll sing Psalm 22, Selection D. Please stand to praise God.